Chosen for a topic today, the gates of hell. Now let's turn into the scriptures right now to Matthew 16 and 18. And wow, what a scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This is a very dramatic time in the life of Peter. Peter was impetuous. He was just something else. I like Peter a lot. I think he's a character that we could learn a lot from. Matthew chapter 16, and it's verse 18. And here's Jesus. "And I also say to you that you are Peter." You're Peter. "But on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or hell, "shall not prevail against it." Shall we pray again? Father, I know that this scripture is one that's caused a lot of controversy. In fact, the Christian world is divided in the middle on whether it's Peter or whether it's Jesus that is the rock. Lord, we're not going to go there today. We're going to talk about the other half of that scripture, the gates of hell. Lord, help me as I relate this to the people so that they will understand and that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I better get the thing out. This is the notes that I've written. I don't usually use notes, but I thought this would be important enough that I would use notes. The gates of hell. When Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, what did he mean? What do you know? Do you know what he meant by that? We got our own ideas. But the gates of hell is, well, you know what a gate is. What's a gate? It's a door. And you notice that there is more than one. There's two, at least. Gates. And these gates open up into a place called hell. But what is hell? These are so many misconceptions as to what hell really is. It's crazy out there. You know, the most people in the world believe that hell is some kind of crazy place that came right out of the Dark Ages, out of medieval times, and not out of the Bible, because of a man called Dante, who wrote this book called Dante's Inferno. People believe that's scriptural, that there's a place where the devil is tormenting and driving his pitchfork into people and torturing them, and they're screaming and weeping and wailing. And I'm here to tell you today that that place does not exist. Not in the Bible. But there is a place called hell. Hell is real. But you see, in the Bible, you see, it doesn't talk about it that way. Now these people out there, the world in general, most, even a lot of Christians, believe that your soul is inside your body. And that it leaves your body. And the conscious you becomes a ghost, becomes a floating spirit somewhere between here and there, or there or there. And that you are conscious all the time. You just sort of leave your body drops, it gets buried, but you're still alive. That's not the truth either. But a lot of people believe that. And they also believe things like you become an angel. You know, you don't. You don't become an angel. We're made a little lower than the angels right now, but we're going to judge the angels because we are being elevated to a position higher than theirs. We're the family of God. We're the children of God. And the Bible says that you know not what you shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So our future is wonderful. We're part of the family of God. We're his children. We're part of his, the very body of Christ. He's the head and we are the members. Now, where's the head today? It's in heaven. But we are connected to him by the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if people think of the physical body of Jesus, they think he left us. But he says, I never leave you because I will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Jesus. And he said, my Father and I, we will come and make our abode with you. So you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But when we die, we are not a ghost. And the spirits of the departed do not come back and visit us. But a lot of people say, oh, I saw my grandfather. He came into my room the other night and he told me this. And my dear old mother, I talk with her all the time. And she comes into my room and I see her sometimes. She appears to me as a spirit. Now, the majority of Christian denominations teach that the soul is immortal. And when I was in the Salvation Army, that was one of the fundamental beliefs of the Salvation Army, that it was in the immortality of the soul. The Bible does not talk about immortal souls, or that we have an immortal soul, or that there is immortality of the soul. It does say that when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he became a living soul. You are a soul. When the breath of God leaves your body, you are no more. Your thoughts cease. No longer do you think, feel, taste, smell, touch. You're gone. Now the Bible pretties it up for you, calls it sleep. When Jesus went to the little girl, Jairus' daughter, why, they said, she's dead. No, she's sick. And he said, no, she sleeps. She's not dead, but she sleeps. And they said, no, she's dead. They were laughing at him. They were laughing at Jesus and said, no, she's dead. She's dead. No, she's asleep. Because when you die, God can wake you up again, no matter how long you've been in that grave. He proved that by raising Lazarus after 4 days. He came out of the grave himself after 3 days. That's what it says. God does not give anybody immortality except himself. There's nobody immortal but God. But he is going to grant to us or give to us. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that's a promise. And I am no more immortal than the dog or the cat. But because we are who we are his children, he is going to give us eternal life. He's paid for it with his own life. Jesus died. The man Christ Jesus died. As God, he never died, but as a man, he did. So that we would not have to do that. You know, we're going to die. And the gates of hell is something that you got to know what it is. See, that's a lie, the immortality of the soul. It is a devil's lie. And it goes back as far as the Garden of Eden. Let me talk to you about it. God had told Adam and Eve that by disobeying the command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. And the serpent, talking in the body, or the Satan in the body of the serpent, told Eve that they would not surely die. That's a direct contradiction of what God said. God said, you will surely die, and Satan says, you will not surely die. Now, who do you believe? Thus, Satan called God a bald-faced liar. Now, he's pretty arrogant to do that right in the garden itself, when he knows that God would take a walk through there, when he knows that God is listening and watching. And God was listening and watching and paying attention to what was going on. God wasn't off somewhere in a far country taking a vacation. God was there watching the devil do his work. And this point here, when they disobeyed, was the opening of the gates of hell. Because the gates of hell is sin, death, and the grave. That's why it's called gates. And the opening of this was the disobedience which brought sin. For the wages of sin is death. And they were being paid their wages. Now, it's wide open. The gates of hell are wide open. And ever since Adam and Eve, mankind has been pouring in to hell. And what is hell? Now, this is important because they're not going down there into some enclosure and being thrown into an enclosure and being tortured and burnt. And that's not what hell is. Listen to me. There are three different words for hell in the Bible. And what hell really is something different. The three words are Gehenna, Sheol, and Hades. Now, Gehenna was the valley of Hinnom, just outside the gates of Jerusalem, and it was the sanitary landfill, we would call it today, the garbage dump. Now, I've seen sanitary landfills. I've seen garbage dumps. Up in Canada, they take the garbage and they put it in a hole, and they cover it up, and after a little while, the gases build up and spontaneous combustion takes place, and there's fire always. If Gene would know us all about this too. They put tubes in there, and there's fire always coming out of that garbage dump, out of the spontaneous gases that are there. The Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, outside of Jerusalem, was where they threw all the dead bodies and all the refuge and all the animals. People who were too poor to be buried were thrown into the garbage dump, and there was always a fire in those dumps. It was a real place, but that's not what hell is. That's the garbage dump. And when you die, there's the place called Sheol, which is the grave. Now, I work in a graveyard. I work for a graveyard. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no activity going on there. It's quiet. I don't hear any weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Nothing. It's deathly quiet. Just like it is here sometimes. But everybody's awake because they're listening. Now, when you die, you go to the grave. You don't go immediately to heaven on the Glory Land Express. You do not. And you do not go in to the underworld to be tortured. You are gone. And we take your remains, or your cremains, as some do, put them in a box, put them in the ground, and bury them, and they rot. Until the resurrection, which is what we're looking for. The hope of the Christian is not to go immediately to heaven, or immediately to hell, after you die. It's the resurrection. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. We have no fears of death. What is taken away by the coming of Jesus to the earth is that he bought us. He redeemed us. And we do not need to fear death anymore. And so what about the garbage dump? And you know, this is what's going to happen at the end of time. And death and hell and sin and sinners are going to be cast into the lake of fire. You see, now all the myths and all the stories about hell have gotten all scrambled, and all these other things have been thrown in, and nobody really knows, except a few of us, what hell is. And hell is an event yet to come. The lake of fire is not burning yet because nobody is there yet. Now, they talk about unquenchable fire, you know, that it shall be forever, it's eternal. Well, let me talk about that. The Bible definition of death is the end of life. You cease to be. Your body decays and returns to dust. You are not asleep really, but the Bible compares death to sleep and calls death sleep, in the sense that when the resurrection occurs, you wake up alive again. And then you become immortal like Jesus is, and in a new glorious and perfect body. That's what glorious means. You're going to get a glorious body. You're going to get a perfect body. Glory is perfection, and we're going to glory by way of the tomb. We're going down, and then we're going up. There is another word for hell. Of course, let's talk about Hades. Hades is a Greek word from Greek mythology, and it means the underworld. Well, the grave is the underworld. You go under, that's it. But there was a mythical where all these things went on, you know, demons and torture and scary stuff. Well, if hell is the grave, then that type of hell does exist. We're all going to go to the grave, and in that sense, we're all going to go to hell. But that's the only hell there is. Hellfire is the lake of fire. Just in case you didn't hear me, I'll say it again. That kind of hell, that mythical one, that one from the Dark Ages, does not exist. And that is a major difference between us and a lot of those churches out there. And they try to scare people into, you can't do that, you know, because there's a really good reason to go to heaven. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What more could you ask for? I'm going to go to heaven happy and not say, whew, I just missed hell by that much. No. You know, you don't go anywhere by the skin of your teeth because there's no skin on your teeth. Think about that. Here's the scriptures. Matthew 25 and 41 talks about everlasting fire. How long is everlasting? It lasts as long as it takes to burn you up. When there's no fuel, the fire goes out. But the unquenchable fire is a fire that won't go out till it finishes burning what it's burning. You can put water on it. You can put all kinds of stuff to try to put that fire out. It will not go out until it finishes burning. That's an unquenchable fire. Matthew 25 talks about everlasting punishment. Well, yeah, but it's not everlasting torture. The punishment will be permanent. Everlasting. There's no remedy for this. You don't get out of it after a while, after you've been punished for a while. You don't ever get out of it. You die, you are burnt up, and that's the end of you. It lasts forever. No reprieve. Matthew 8, verse 12, talks about outer darkness. Well, darkness is darkness to me. What's this outer darkness? You're just going to be so far out of sight. How much more gone can you be than gone? How much more dead can you be than dead? How much more unconscious can you be than unconscious? You will just be in outer darkness as far as anybody that is alive is concerned. So the term is for the living, not the dead. You won't know where you are because you won't have any consciousness. As far as the world is concerned, you're in outer darkness. In a black hole somewhere, for all we know. God knows. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, they are slated for everlasting destruction. And then Revelation 19, verse 20 says, they are cast into the lake of fire. And that's the closest thing I can think of that resembles the word hell as the world believes it, where there's fire and they're burnt up. And who is going to burn up in the lake of fire? Matthew 25 and 41 says, the devil and his angels. It was made for the devil and his angels, and the devil is going to burn up in hell. He's not going to be presiding over it as the king of hell and doing the torture. No, he is going to be literally burnt up. No more devil, no more demons, no more evil, no more death, no more hell, no more grave, No more. No more. It's going to burn up. It said the wicked would be ashes under our feet. The world is going to be renovated by fire. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And all things become new. And the old is all passed away. Passed away is another sweet term for death. It's gone. It's out of existence. No more. So what does it mean by the gates of hell shall not prevail? It means even if you die, you're not done for. You understand what I'm saying? You have hope. The hope of the Christian is the resurrection. The punishment of hell or lake of fire is a bodily thing. Your body is resurrected. If you're in the wrong end of the wrong resurrection, then your body will go. Body and soul, says Matthew 10 and 28, don't fear who can kill the body, but rather him who can destroy both body and soul in hell or the lake of fire. And there are degrees of punishment. Those that had little sins, shall we say, or not as grievous sins, or not as wicked lives, will take less time to burn up than the devil and his bunch. They'll have some time to think about it while they are being burnt up. Who knows how long it'll take them. But there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, let me tell you. But that's the only hell there will be. It does not exist now. I don't have to battle somebody or bang somebody over the head. Say, if you don't get, right with God, you're going to go right straight to hell after you die. That's reserved for later when you resurrect. Right now, sin prevails against the church. No, it doesn't. Right now, sin prevails against mankind. Sin and death do not prevail against the church. We will overcome death, hell, and the grave through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the same promise. So the gates of hell, no matter how wide open they have been for all these centuries, and swallowing the billions and millions of mankind, they will not win. Sin and death will disappear, will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels and all the wicked of humankind. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Read Revelation 20, verses 7 to 15. Thus the church is triumphant. It's triumphant over sin, over death, over the grave. The gates of hell are closed forever. My friends, make your calling and election sure. If you are born twice, you will die once and be raised to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are born only once, you will die twice. And that death will be without remedy. That'll be the end of you. You will go out of existence, period. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you came and you experienced all the horrors you did for our sake so that we would not have to lose our souls. We know that it doesn't profit us anything if we gain the whole world and we lose our soul. Father, we're praying today that if anybody here is not ready to die, is not ready for eternity, because to be ready to die is to be ready for eternity, and to be not afraid of death is the beginning of really living. Lord, we pray that you would show this, impress this upon the hearts of those who not yet have surrendered to you as Lord and as Savior. This day in this place, move on our hearts, and then fill us with the joy of the knowledge that we are ready for your coming. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.